Lord, teach us to pray. My first year of seminary, I took a class called The Life of Prayer, in which we studied and then practiced many different forms of prayer, from Lectio Divina to Ignatian contemplation to centering prayer and beyond. One of the requirements of the class, as you might expect, was that we were to pray 20 to 30 minutes every single day. I clearly remember my professor going over the syllabus on the first day and emphasizing that that was a course requirement, and then adding with a small smirk, "This is likely the only time in your life that you'll ever actually receive credit for praying." Another point that she made is that it's really fine and dandy to say that you're praying everywhere, all the time, with all your actions and all your words. But in reality, you have to learn to pray somewhere, some of the time, before you can truly pray without ceasing. And one thing is clear when you read the Bible, people do pray to God a lot. They pray in many different ways and for many different reasons. I think it's safe to say that prayer is one of the most important ways that we can express our faith. In my personal experience, though, and based on many conversations I've had with others, prayer is often something that we simultaneously hunger for and yet that scares us at the same time. Our inner thoughts plague the backs of our minds. What if I don't do it right? What if nothing happens? What if something happens? I can almost hear those questions swirling around in the heads of Jesus' friends in our passage from Luke today when they say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." This question stands out to me for many reasons. One, it is in response to them observing him pray. And I can't help but wonder if there is a tone of awe or perhaps even jealousy in their voices, to have witnessed what I can only imagine was something powerful as Jesus communed with God. It is also one of the only times that the disciples actually ask Jesus to teach them something, as it's usually he who led the teaching. And they say, "Teach us." And he does, teaching them and us a communal prayer. This story models for us that prayer is not only about us and God. It's about all of us and God. We spend time in prayer alone, and we need to, but we're not left alone there. Every Sunday, we come together and pray, not only the prayer that Jesus taught, but through our entire liturgy, the collects, the prayers of the people, the Eucharistic prayer. And I think especially when we come forward to share birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations. When we do this together, it becomes easier to see that at its heart, prayer is not about what we say or how we say it. It's not even about whether or not something happens. It's about relationship. I believe that's what Jesus is trying to tell his friends when he told them that story that followed the prayer in Luke. Although it seems to focus on the results of praying, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, if we take a closer look, we can see that as is so often the case with Jesus' stories, just beneath the surface lurks something profound. The first word that clues me in that praying is about relationship is persistence. "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." What I hear when I read this is that God is our friend. God indeed loves us. And yet God longs for us to be persistent, to reach out, to talk and to listen, to seek a relationship. God is always there, but it takes at least two people for there to be a relationship. And relationships take work, and relationships take time. It takes persistent hearts for it to grow and deepen. Next in Luke, we hear the well-known lines, Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. As beautiful as that prose is, I think it can trap us. What does it mean if you ask in prayer, even persistently, and that prayer isn't answered? This is where the depth of the relationship with God is important, because the trust found in a strong relationship can help us move away from outcome prayers, prayers where we essentially want to remain in control and tell God what to do for us, and instead into offering prayers, prayers in which we offer all that is in our hearts and minds and then simply listen for how God will respond to our lives. And that's where we find that's where the final verses of this passage come into play. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I believe God is saying, trust me to give you good things. Perhaps not what you ask for, but good things nonetheless. Because what is it that God says he will give to those who ask? It is the Holy Spirit. Not a result to our prayer, not our demands, but an invitation to listen with our hearts and minds and souls woven together at just how God is moving in our lives. It is this listening part that I personally find the most difficult. Sure, there have been times when I haven't known exactly what to say to God in prayer, or not felt like praying at all, but even then, my heart has thrummed with longing. But how do you listen for God, and what exactly does God sound like? I think the answers to those questions are different for each of us, and also changes for each of us throughout our lives. The kind of prayer that feeds our hunger now may not next month, let alone next year. The space we create in prayer that leads us to listen for the heartbeat of God and feel the Spirit blowing through our lives amidst the chaos of daily stuff must change as we change and as our relationship with God changes too. There was a time in my life when I regularly practiced centering prayer. The inexplicable rush coupled with serenity after I was sitting in silence for 30 minutes was wonderful. And then I had kids. And I found that if I sat still for 30 minutes in silence, the only thing that happened was that I fell asleep. And so my prayer life changed. I'm guessing that many of you have had a similar experience where an existing way of praying stops working. Or maybe you're still clinging to an old prayer practice that no longer sparks your soul. Or perhaps because you have lost that spark, you've just given up on a personal prayer practice at all. The good news is that, bidden or unbidden, God is always present. God is persistent. Always ready to listen, always ready to speak. All we have to do is find ways to persistently reach out to God and try to listen too. What does that look like for you? Is it turning off the radio in the car during your commute? Do you sit and journal every day? Is it singing songs? Is it singing songs and saying prayers with your children before they go to bed? Because I think it's not only how we pray, it's when we pray. The theme for our parish retreat this September is Jesus, the still point in a turning world. And it will offer us a chance to explore how it is that we find Jesus in the midst of our chaotic lives. This is not unlike a book called Momfulness by author Denise Roy. That's a play on mindfulness you might catch, in which she offers meditations on the spiritual practices of mothering, in the midst of barking dogs, toys strewn about the house, and refereeing children. It's certainly not always easy. No relationship is. But I invite you all to take some time this week to examine your prayer life, to see what's working, to see what isn't working, and to try, if nothing else, to be persistent. And you can always just follow the words of the poem Praying by Mary Oliver. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch together a few words, and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Amen.